We're beginning a new series today that we're doing for the month of March, that we're calling My Word. The Bible. We associate the Bible with Christianity. We associate the Bible with church. The Bible's made up of 66 books. It actually has 31,102 verses in it. And throughout the pages of the Bible, we can read history, we can read mystery, we can read poems, stories, instructions, prophecy, wisdom, guidance, literature. It's all throughout this whole book. And we can look at it as just a book. We can look at it as just a placeholder. We can look at it as a paperweight. We can look at it as something that sits on a shelf. We can look at it as just an app that's on our phone or our iPad. But it's meant for so much more. See, we've been given something that makes all the difference. It's God's word for us. It's His words for us. So we're going to spend the next 4 weeks not just looking at God's word, but rather looking at how we can make God's word my word. I'd like for you to open your Bibles today to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading in the book of Joshua. We'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, or the NLT. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside your bulletin, there's going to be notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks. The scriptures and the answers will be up on the screen today as we go through today's message. What we're about to read is in Joshua chapter 1, and this is a big change in leadership for Israel. Moses had been in charge. Moses was the one who led the Israelites out of Egypt. They had seen miracles, but then they also did not believe that God was taking them to a promised land. They disobeyed. They did not have the faith for it. And so they wandered around in the desert for 40 years until the point that Moses, the leader, died and a whole generation with him. And now it was time for Moses' assistant to be the leader. His name was Joshua. And God came to Joshua and said, "Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you're going to be the leader. I'm going to give you the same promises that I've given to Moses, and you're going to lead my people to the promised land." And this is where we pick up today, reading in Joshua chapter 1, reading verses 6 through 8. It says this: "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." Let's pray. God, we're going to be challenged today to change from looking at it as God's word, or just the Bible, to making it my word, something that's personal, something that's designed just for me. So God, I pray that in the next few moments, as we unpack this, as we explore this, that you would bring focus to us, that you would show us how this applies to us, that you would change our hearts and you would change our minds as we explore your word. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. This past Thursday night, I was blessed to be able to do something I've always wanted to do, and that was to go to a Toby Mac concert. He was in Milwaukee at the UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena. And at the last moment, somebody made it possible for me to have two tickets, and I was able to go, and I wanted to bring my middle son. His name is Ryden. You see, Ryden loves music. He always has music playing. He memorizes every word to every song, and he would say his favorite artist of all time is Toby Mac. But yet, Ryden has never been to a concert ever. And so I was excited that I was going to get to bring him, because of all my children, he was going to appreciate it the most. So I played a trick on him. I called him up. I said, "Ryden, I have to go run an errand. I've got to go fix my sunglasses. They broke, and I need to go to the outlet store in Johnson Creek. And it's a long drive. It takes a half hour there, half hour back. I want you to just ride with me. I just want to spend some time with you, just riding and dad. He's like, okay, dad, I'll go with you. And so we drove down the highway. We went to the store. We got to the store, got the glasses taken care of. And then we went to get back in the car, and we went back on the highway to head home. And he's just chatting. And along the way, he says, dad, did you hear that Toby Mac is coming in concert in Milwaukee? And I'm like, whoa, no, really? He is? I think I might have heard something along those lines. He's like, yeah, dad, I wish I could hear him sometime, but how do you even go to a concert, dad? And I said, well, you got to buy tickets in advance, and they cost a lot of money, and you got to plan this the kind of thing out. He's like, dad, I wish I could go sometime. And we're driving down the road. And he starts paying attention to the road signs, and he's watching the GPS, and he keeps on looking at what time we're going to be home, because he wants to plan ahead for being home, and it's showing what time we're going to arrive. And he keeps on asking me the question, dad, what time are we going to arrive? And I give him the time. And then he points out, dad, that sign just said Waukesha. That's nowhere near Madison. He's starting to get his Wisconsin geography down. He's like, dad, what's going on? Did you take the wrong turn, dad? And I'm like, I don't think so. Why don't you look at these pieces of paper over here? And he grabbed these pieces of paper, and they were printouts of the tickets, and he began reading them. And his eyes started getting bigger as he was reading them out loud, and his jaw started dropping. He's like, no way, dad, these are tickets to the Toby Mac concert, and we're in Milwaukee already. This is amazing. And he was so excited to go. And we got to the concert, and we got there, and I have to say there was something that shocked me at the concert. Because we get there, and they're in the middle of the pre-shows, and the place is packed. But not only was the place packed, but the entire arena was full of people who were standing, not sitting. And beyond that, they weren't just standing, they were moving. And they were singing, and they were going crazy, and I'm thinking, who are these people? I mean, I like music, but this is a little overboard. You know, we're waiting through the pre-show, waiting for the headliner for Toby Mac to come up, and Ryden just keeps on saying, dad, this is amazing. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we're here. And as Toby Mac begins doing his songs, and everyone's there, I mean, really, I don't know why they give away seats, because we stood like 90% of the time. And everyone's moving and they're singing with it. And I was just determined that I was going to stay cool throughout this process. That I'll just sit there and just enjoy the show with a smile on my face. That, yeah, and try to see over the taller people in front of me, you know. And I tried. This person next to me was just jamming out on every song, and they're dancing and throwing their arms around and everything. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're excited. And I tried to not do anything and maintain my composure until about 75% into, I found myself singing along and moving just a little. And I'm like, oh, great. Why did I do that? Because this music means something to me. It's my jam. And when we hear our song, we hear our music, we can't help but to be transported in that very moment to a wholly another place where we don't care what people think and we don't care what people see us doing, because it's our inspiration. It's our craziness. It's our joy. It's something that just transports to another place, and it makes us act something maybe like this.
Gangnam Style.
When your jam comes on, you can't help but to be crazy. You're either singing or you're dancing, and you forget there's headphones in your ear, and you don't sing it as good as the person you're listening to. But it reminds you of something. It picks up your spirit. It brings joy. It brings hope. And when your jam comes on, it changes who you are in that moment. In the same way that music speaks to us, God's word can speak to us. Scriptures, it's possible to have God's word speak to you, something you can hold on to, something that can give you hope, something that reminds you of something, of who God is or what promise he's given to you. It reminds you to do something. It gives you joy. It's a scripture that stands out, and it helps you through the highs and the lows of life. You see, the first thing of changing God's word to my word is to find a scripture, find something that you say, this is mine. And then no matter what happens in life, no matter what goes on, you're reminded of that scripture and it makes a difference. It transports you. It reminds you of, forget about what's going on, but look above, look to God. It can help us. And here, God was giving Joshua instructions for how to fulfill Joshua's calling. He was saying, Joshua, you're the guy, and you've got some big things happening to you. You're going to do things that your predecessor did not do. There was promises given to him that are also given to you. But here is how you're going to do it. What he was doing was he was giving Josh his personal word from God. You see, the promises that God had given to Moses, he was saying, hey, they weren't just for Moses, they're also for you. And we can go one step further on this, and we can say that the promises that we find in the Bible were not just for those people that we see in the Bible, but they're also for you. That the Bible is not some dead book, a historical book or something, but it is God's word to us that can affect our life. It gives us a guideline for living. It gives us a guideline for faith. And so how do we make this my word? And I believe in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God lays it out. This is what we should grab a hold of. This is how we take God's word and we make it my word. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to read it. God said, you've got to study this book of instruction. You've got to read God's word. And I'm sure if that we were honest and we took a poll of people who regularly read God's word, we might be surprised by how often we do or we don't. It's hard. You know, there's always something that comes up. There's always something. It's always something we want to do. And I have to believe that if we're not regularly reading God's word, it's not because we don't want to or don't think we should. It's because we just haven't made it a habit. And so as we talk through for the next 4 weeks about how to make God's word my word, I want you to be thinking about this. What can you do in the next 30 days to make a habit? Studies show that in order to break a habit or to start a habit, you've got to do it for 30 days. And I found that we have a tool and a resource that is available for all of us that's found on our phones. It's the YouVersion Bible app. And it's not just God's word, and it's not just every translation that's ever been there, but they have also collected up plans. And they have technology to help you, and they give you little thumbs up if you get it. And you can have reminder emails set up that can remind you, saying, hey, you want to read for today? And they'll even email you, here's what you're supposed to read. And so if you're in a habit of reading your email, you can read your Bible through your email. Or, this is even crazier, and they have the ability that you can sign up with your friends and make it public when you've read your Bible. Now imagine if we were to do something like that. Talk about scary. It would either motivate us or it would hurt us. If everyone in here knew whether or not you had opened God's word this week. But it starts in this. You've got to read God's word in order to find out God's word. You've got to read it in order to find out. But before you start reading it, there's something you need to do, and it's in this next part. You've got to pray this prayer. I recommend that you say, God, I'm about to read your word. I pray that as I read your word, that you would show me something that's for me. And I don't care if you have been following Jesus for a day or you followed him all your days. There's always something that God can show you through his word because it's living, it's alive, it's God's word for you. But I believe it's the key here to unlock it is to say, God, show me. As I read this, show me. And there might be a scripture that you read through this that you'd say, I never saw that there. I've read over this passage tons of times, but I never saw this. This is something that's happened for me. You see, I'm very familiar with the story of Joshua and how his transfer of leadership happens, and this leads right into the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, in which God brought them a tremendous victory, their first victory of many in conquering the promised land. And I know that there was a promise that God gave to Joshua. He said, I'm going to be there for you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forget about you. He says, be strong and be courageous. And I knew that was in there. And I know, I kind of memorized that there's Joshua 1:9. And there's a great promise that's for Joshua. And it's a great promise for us. But what I didn't know was waiting for me as I was preparing this message. You see, as God had given me the idea for this series and to look at this and say, this is a direction that I want you to lead Focus Church in, he kept bringing me and said, you need to look at Joshua chapter 1. And I'm like, I've read Joshua chapter 1. It's Joshua being told that he's going to be the leader and you should never leave him, forsake him. And I said, what does this have to do with learning the Bible? And I didn't understand, but God kept on saying, look at it, look at it. And I didn't think I would go there. But I said, okay, God, I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, and I want you to show me what it is you have for me. And he showed me a scripture that I could swear I've never read ever before. Like somebody must have just put it in there because I don't know. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. With these instructions of how to make God's word your word. And it starts with, you got to read it. You got to read the instructions here, the instructional book. You got to read it all the time. You got to read it. It's fun raising teenagers. Apparently, they have perfect memory recall. Perfect. Because as soon as you catch them not doing something that you already told them to do, their response is, you never said that. You never said that. And I'm thinking, no, wait a second. I did say it. And we could have an old argument about I never said or I did say it. But the reality is that my teenager has the wrong response. Instead of saying I never said that, he should be saying I never heard that or paid attention to that. And I believe that's the conversation that we can have with God and say, God, you never said that. He's like, oh, yeah, no, you just never noticed it. You see, and that's why we shouldn't just read, but we should pray and say, God, show me. Show me what it is you want me to do it. Because we could look at it and say, well, it's my religious duty. I now follow Jesus, and it's the expectation of Jesus followers that we should read our Bible. We should read it daily. We should wake up early in the morning because that's what true Christians do. They get up before the sun rises at an ungodly hour. They get their cup of coffee and their big, gigantic book and open it up. And, man, that's what the really holy ones do. And we think that. And for us normal people who don't wake up that early, we wonder, how can I be a good Christian because I can't wake up even to read God's word? The point is not to do some ritual. The point is not to do something that's required. But this is God's word for you. And God right here, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, is saying, read this thoroughly. Read it. But I say, you've got to pray. And say, God, show what you want me to get out of what it is. We're not just checking something off the list. Yep, got it. Yes, got it. What is it for me? Second thing we got to do is we got to soak on it. He says you got to meditate on it day and night. And if we think about the word meditate, we'd say, wait a second, Pastor Ryan. You want us to start reading all the time, then you want us to start going, meditating on it. And this is not what God is saying, but what he's actually saying is you got to think about it all the time. Think about it. What is it? You see, reading God's word is not about accomplishing how many books and chapters have I read. We kind of get a sense of accomplishment on the whole marathon of getting it all done. But you know what? God can speak to you in one phrase or one sentence. If that's the thing that he's pointing out to do, then you got to stop there and got to think about it. Wow, this blows me away. I got to do this. Or wow, I need to remember this. And there's something that will jump out no matter what you're going through or what's going on. God will give you his word for you. And then what do you do with it? You think about it. Think about it all the time. A helpful way to think about it is to memorize it. To memorize what exactly it says, because this is God's message to you. Thirdly, you got to do it. Whatever it says, you got to do. You got to obey everything written in this book. You see, this is an important concept that we've been trying to grasp here at Focus Church, that we can say we love God, that we love people, but we're saying the most important thing is we got to do something. And it applies even to this. We've got to do something. Like, we could read our Bible, we could think about it, but if it doesn't change our actions, then it's still for nothing. But doing these three things, reading about it, thinking about it, soaking on it, doing it, this is our start for finding what God's word is for you, what your my word is. Here's what God's promise is as he closes out verse 8. This is a very impactful scripture. He says, when you obey it, when you do these things, you will be successful in all you do. Wow. You want to be successful in everything you do? Then read God's word. Think about God's word. And do God's word. You'll be successful. How this plays out is that you'll find that there's going to be a scripture that jumps out to you that you can just latch hold of. That no matter what you're going through in life, you can say, I remember that. You see, for Joshua, his word from God was verse 9. And it said this, be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This sentence, this scripture, this verse right here was the verse for Josh to hold on to, that as he was about to lead several million people, as he was about to lead an army that had never fought before, as he's about to do some crazy things that God was going to ask him to do, that he's going to have to do things in faith, as they were going to embark on something that was promised to the previous generation, but now it's been fulfilled in the next generation. He's going to go through highs, and he's going to go through lows. He's going to have uncertainty. He's going to have stress. He's going to have doubts. He's going to have fears, and God is saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't discourage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this verse here became my word to Joshua. And it impacted him, something he held on to as he accomplished awesome things for God. And we can see the fulfillment of the instructions from verse 8 in Joshua's life. If you were to read through the story of Joshua in the book of Joshua, amazing things. It wasn't all highs and lows, but we can say that Josh must have read the word, read the instructions. He must have meditated on day and night. He must have obeyed the instructions of what he was taught and what he learned, because he was successful in everything that he did. Changing God's word to my word. At this time, I want to invite up to the stage Pastor Hope. Because it's one thing to hear from the pastor and saying, hey, this is what we should do. Here's what God says. Here's the word. But through the course of this series, we're going to hear from some other people. And we're going to hear about Pastor Hope's verse, her my word and how it has impacted her life. Let's give a hand to Pastor Hope.
My verse is 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. And Apostle Paul was just about ready to go on home to be with the Lord. And he's mentoring Timothy. And he said to him, you know, he's talking about all the things that he suffered. And he said, I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed or not feeling bad about it. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now fast forward ahead to 1968. I remember as a daughter when I started praying about this, and the Lord took me back. This is like, you know, that's not very current, Lord, for a testimony. A little genealogy lesson here. Jim's oldest brother is married to my oldest sister. So I knew Jim several years before we ever started dating. We used to sit around our big 4x8 sheet of plywood was our kitchen table. I have 19 brothers and sisters. So that was our kitchen table. I had 3 brothers in Vietnam. My mom and dad would pray. And my mom would say, keep our son safe and keep Les's brother Jim safe too. So for a number of years, I prayed for Mr. Jim, who became my husband almost 47 years ago. And God was faithful. He kept my 3 brothers. They all came home safe. God was faithful. He kept Mr. Jim. He came home safe. And in 47 years, we have seen a lot of God's keeping. Now we're facing a new battle. Jim's been diagnosed with cancer. But I'll tell you what, I am not ashamed. Because this one thing I can tell you, he is able to keep that which we have committed to him. And this word has worked for many years to stand on, and I'm going to keep on standing on it.
Hope is our pastoral care pastor. We love that she is around, and we are praying with them and believing with them. But I have to say that it's true that they are living out, holding on to their my word. It's evident when you talk to them. It's evident in the life. And Pastor Hope, even herself, over the last year, has had quite a few battles physically. And yet I find that when I talk to her, she mentions this scripture, and she always points to God's in charge. It's God's problem. It's not mine. And it's encouraging to see it laid out. Next, I'd like to invite one of our board members, Mike Reese, to come up with his wife, and Mike's going to share his word of verse that has impacted him and how it's played out in his life. And so he's going to make his way up to the front here. We won't have him on the stage. We'll have him up front, and he has written this out for us, and Suzanne, his wife, is going to read it to us on how God's word has become his word and what it's meant to him. So let's give a hand to Mike and Suzanne.
Michael's scripture verses are Matthew 5, 44 and 8. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. Matthew 6:4 says, when you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, works behind the scenes, helps you out. I believe one of the gifts God has given me is that of giving. Ever since I can remember, even as a student at my boarding school in Chicago, I have always helped people, giving of my time, listening, or of my talents, sharing of my home and resources, or financially. I never thought this was something that was special or something I should do. I just did it. In 2000, I was saved and began my life with Jesus. I talked to him all the time, and I liked sitting by the lake just talking to Jesus, telling him my wants, my needs, asking him to help me, and praising him. Michael lived in Madison, and he got all over in his wheelchair. All that time, I was helping people out. One example is in 2001, I received an anonymous Christmas card with a cashier's check of $400 and a note that said, "Pay it forward. Give to someone I know $10 and make it anonymous." So I put $25 in an envelope, wrote "Merry Christmas" and my neighbor's name on it. My attendant slid it under their door. Recently, we talked to a den of Cub Scouts about disability, inclusion, the fact that we are all different and yet the same. Everyone has the same needs and goals through life. Though I did not always believe that I was worthy of God's love, my relationship with God has grown, and I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. I am so glad He is in my life. I believe God has a plan for my life, and I will follow that plan. I believe He continues to provide opportunities for me to help people, as I have always done. He has also equipped me to help others overcome their barriers in their life by giving them hope by sharing God's love. No matter the circumstances, good or bad, through my life, God has always been with me. Even in my darkest times, when I felt the furthest from God, He was still using me. He also used others to inspire and encourage me that God loved me. It is no mistake that God told me that my disability is no mistake, because He uses that to inspire others to get over whatever barrier that they have that is keeping them from moving forward in their life and towards God. I believe it was the plan He made for my life so that I can help people in ways that I could only dream of. You can never outgive God, no matter what, and God has a plan and a purpose for everyone.
God's word can become your word. You got to find it. You got to read. You got to think about it. You got to do it. Here we have two awesome people who have played this out in their lives. And they're not saying that life has always been easy. But what they are saying, if you heard it today, is that God's word helped them. God's word that was specifically for them help them to be who God's created them to be. It's helped their attitude. It's helped their thoughts. It's helped their hope. It's helped them to encourage others. It's helped them to bless others. It's given them a guideline to how they should do what they do. And it's not reserved for just a few select people. For everybody. You can have your own word from God, but you got to start somewhere. You got to find it, and then you hold on to it. You say, "God, show me. God, help me." And He will take you through the highs. He'll take you through the lows. And it will change your life. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that you wanted to speak to us, that you provided your word, that you have instructions for us, that you have stories for us, you have guidelines, you have principles, all these things that weren't just meant to be on paper to collect dust somewhere or to fill up megabytes in an app on a phone, but God, these were meant to be living and breathing, to impact our lives and our souls, to give us focus, to give us hope. And it matters. These are not just dead words, but these are words that are alive. And they're not just for someone else, but they're for each and every one of us. God, I pray, this is my prayer for this entire 4-week message series, is that for each person who is here at Focus Church, God, that they would find a word from you, something they can hold on to, God, as they commit to reading, as they commit to thinking, as they commit to doing. God, I pray that as they pray and say, God, show me what it is you have for me through your word. God, I pray you answer those prayers and that you would reveal, God, that they'd be sitting there saying, I never saw that or I never knew that. But God, it would impact them in a way that changes their life forever. So God, make it real. Make it real to us. This week we've been faced with the idea of our mortality. And God, it puts things in perspective. And it's easy to let a few hours or a few days or a few weeks to go by that we forget it and kind of just live our life. But God, following you is a real deal. And what we do on this planet has ramifications forever, for all of eternity. And the love that you gave and sending your son to pay the price for us, to make it possible for us to be a part of your family, to make it possible for you to guide and direct us, to make it possible for you to be the main character in our lives, God, it's real. And we see it played out every day and every week in the lives of your children, your people, your church, your family. So God, we say thank you. Thank you that we can live life with hope, that we can live life with focus, that we can live life with purpose, that we can live life with your direction, with your word for us, just like you gave a word to Joshua, just like you gave a word to Pastor Hope, just like you gave a word to Mike, that you have words for each and every one of us that will impact us, change our life, change our future. We love you, God. And we thank you. And as I'm praying today, there may be some in the room who would say, Pastor, I like what I hear, but I don't even know where to begin, because the fact of the matter is you've tried living your life on your own. You've tried to do things your way. And today you're saying, there must be another way. I need hope. I need focus. I need a future. I need purpose in life. And that purpose comes in that you were created to be a part of God's family. But because of the things we do that we inherited from all the way from Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, we are born with a nature that desires to do wrong, that desires to sin, that desires to do evil. As much as we try, there's nothing we can do to make things right. There's nothing we can do to get right with God. But there is something that God can do and that he did do. And is that he loved you so much that he gave. He gave his son as a sacrifice because someone would have to pay the price. The penalty of sin, evil, iniquity is death. And Jesus paid that price. God did not leave him dead, but God brought him back to life. And he would be the first of many people who would experience new life as a part of God's family. That could be you today. And if you would like to make that decision, say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to make that decision. You see, it's simple. It's simply saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I want you in charge. God, I need to stop being the main character of my life story, and I need to put you as the main character of my life story. I want to be a part of your family. I want to have focus, and I want to have purpose. And in that decision, your life will be changed. And as you begin to grow and follow, as you begin to do these things that we read in God's Word in Joshua 1:8, you will find success in all you do. You'll find that there's hope in the highs and lows. You'll find that God has words and plans and purposes for you. But you would say, Pastor, I need to make that decision right now. I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. No one's looking around. We're just saying, I need to be right with God. I need to have that decision. I need God as the main character. We're not playing around. When John passed from this life to the next, it's sad for us, but we can be glad because we know exactly where he's going because he lived a life that honored God and he loved God with all his heart. God was the main character of his life. And so thank you for raising your hand right now. We're going to pray, and I invite you to pray, repeating after me, this decision prayer. And I want everybody to pray that with me because here at Focus Church, nobody prays alone. And say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I've messed things up, tried to do it myself. I believe you sent your son to pay the price for me. I want you in charge of my life. I want to live for you. I want to live a life of hope, focus, and purpose. God, be the main character. My life story. In Jesus' name, amen.